podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to part two of a very special Spurs Show live event here, live at the Albany Great Portland Street. Yay! He's back. Please welcome my co-host, Mr. Theo Delaney. Yay! And he's still here. He hasn't gone anywhere. Please welcome again, Mr. Michael Dawson. Yay! We left last week's, the last show, with that wonderful night in Manchester. And then the next season, the wonderful Champions League run, 2010-11. Again, I mentioned Clive Allen saying that the formation was changed against Man City. He told us the great story that Harry got him to go out to watch young boys play as a scouting mission and came back and went, Harry, no problems. No problems at all. We show up, we're going to win. And Harry gave him a mouthful. We found ourselves 3-0 down on a plastic pitch.
I blame the plastic pitch. And if anyone's seen me doing work the other day for Sky, defending Manchester United, and he soon shot me down. He went, they've only won two games at home. Yeah. Man United and us. I thought, oh, here we go again. No, it was an absolute disastrous start. You couldn't write it. We'd worked previously the season before to get us in this opportunity to go to Champions League. You walk out, you hear that music, you're thinking, wow, what an experience. This is dreams. This is what they're made of. This is where this football club should be. It's where we should be as players. And we got this opportunity. And wow, we nearly knackered it in the space of 15, 20 minutes. It was an absolute disaster. You couldn't think of anything worse. But thankfully, we got back to the lane and we were still in a chance.
Because of history and what went beyond, many people forget that night. That was an extraordinary night. Was it 4-0? I think we won 4-0, didn't we? And it's kind of forgotten the glory nights because of games that went. But that was a great night at the Lane.
I think if it had been 3-0 over there, it would have been completely different. Yeah, but Pav got the goal and Besson got the goal. So it gave us, as soon as we got back to 3-2, we knew we'd win back at the Lane, 100%. Yeah. That was confidence. But had it been 3-0 and they had an opportunity, I made a mistake down the right and they got down the byline in 80-plus minute and it could have been 4-2, then you think, wow, 2-goal. 3-2, you've scored two away goals. It should be comfortable. And then pitches in Manchester United's defence, as much as Jeff shot me down the other week, it was so hard. Mm. Honestly, it just shows when we brought them back on grass, we absolutely battered them. But that AstroTurf pitch was made a massive difference. Yeah. But 30 minutes, it could have been a lot worse. Mm. Thankfully, it wasn't.
That season will be remembered as that great Champions League run. And the league, I think we finished fifth this season. There was the famous, again, you missed outside. There was the famous game at Arsenal last time we won. They're 3-2. Raphael van der Vaart came in. Extraordinary player. Again, another left field signing. No one saw that one coming. We talked about Edgar Davids in the last show. What was he like around the place?
Pretty quiet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. High expectations, demands, being at Real Madrid. Had an arrogance. But wow, he could carry it off. Mm. Another world class player that you guys got to see and I got to play with. Absolute talent. What a player. Some of the goals, him and Crouchy. Mm. I think he played unbelievable with Crouchy and he'll probably speak about Crouchy being a big player for him, not just literally the size of him, but the opportunities that he gave for him, they were unplayable. Rafa got on the ball, the way he created things. He was a sexy player, wasn't he, for you guys to watch? Yeah. He was brilliant and the goals he scored, you could tell he'd been at the likes of Real Madrid and teams like that. It was a sensational player.
You and Ledley that season had a few injury problems and William Gallas came in. You mentioned Bassong as well came in. But it was also the season that Gareth Bale announced himself on the world stage with, well, obviously the two displays against Inter Milan. What was he like? I mean, obviously you saw him coming in the team at 17 and whatever. What was he like in training when you must have been a moment you went, fucking hell, there's something here.
Yeah, I mean, my dad had seen him actually at Southampton as a 16, 17-year-old player when my brother was at Hull. And he just went, best player on the pitch from left back. Scored a free kick, was incredible. So when we signed him, you were thinking, wow, he's coming. You try and take him under your wing. He's only young, how hard it's going to be. And his left foot was an absolute wand. It was incredible. But it took him time to settle in, like I said. But that year, it was like he was playing like Roy the Rovers. He was like... And people say, who's the best player you played with? And I always say Gaz, because he was. There was times when he carried us. And yeah. As a defender, you don't realise how lucky you are to have a player of his calibre. And picks up the Norwich goal for me is one where about four people try to kill him. Yeah, literally dripping down, and he scores a goal. And you think, oh my word, how lucky am I to play with Gaz? He just wins your games out of nothing. And he did against Inter. And Maicon was from then finished. But he didn't. I don't think he just put himself on the worldwide stage. Everyone was like, wow. Spurs are a team. These can go a long way. And we did. We had a great journey as players and as a football club. It was an incredible journey for us all.
You were back for the AC Milan games. What are those two ties like? You're now playing at the San Siro. What was that like?
Yeah, special. Leading the lads out. Incredible place. You go down the tunnel. It's like a dungeon. It's like it's tight. You're thinking, wow, you're going there. Gattuso, Seedorf. Yeah. Ibrahimovic, you're thinking, wowza, this ain't going to be easy, is it? We go there and we win 1-0.
Yeah. And what a performance.
Yeah, incredible.
How good was Sandro that night?
Sandro was brilliant. In front of us, you need them kind of players. You always say you need a midfield player in front of you to help you. And that night, the whole team were incredible.
But you had an incredible game that night as well. I mean, you're going to have in your position and you as the leader of the team in a game like that at the San Siro to win 1-0 in the San Siro, you have to have an unbelievable game.
Yeah, and when you're away from home, you're going to go in periods of the game where you're under pressure. And I remember Zlatan pushing me off and scoring in the 90th minute. And thankfully, it was giving us a free kick on him. Right. But yeah, it was pretty quiet that night, as daft as it sounds. Yeah. It was like, there you go, Zlatan, keep quiet. We go back, but we're thinking...
Later found in your back pocket.
Yeah, but we had another 90 minutes to play. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. He's going back to the lane. What's he going to be like? Yeah. But yeah, an incredible achievement collectively as a group of players to go there that no one expected us to win 1-0 and then bring them back to the lane and then to be in the next round. Those nights when you only sit now, you talk about how special they are, because when you're in the moment as a player, as fans, you go to the pub and you can do it and you enjoy it, you see the celebrations, as a player you're always thinking of your next game. You're at cloud nine, and then by the morning you're going, right, now we're praying for the next game. But that was a great journey back. Fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think that was, looking back, iconic games you played with Tottenham? Do you think that was the pinnacle? Obviously, the next one, we had the Bernabeu, which obviously, as a player, incredible, but with this awful, awful start, and the tie was over, but obviously very quickly, wasn't it, that round?
Yeah, I mean, the AC Milan one, people always say your best moment in a shirt, and I honestly can't give one because there's so many. That was up there, the Arsenal 5-1, scoring my first ever goal, winning the League Cup, losing the League Cup. You always remember these things. But that night, and even going to the Bernabeu, I look back and see clips, and when people do montage of you go back and think, wow, I played there. It was special. As hard as the night was, everything went against us that could. We could give a set piece away, and that is, you talk about a team giving goals away in a way we did that night. It's a disaster. Anyone can cut you open. The players they had, but to give a set piece away with Addy scoring, it was a disastrous start. And then Crouchy getting sent off. There was no hope for him as after
but
that.
But also, I mean, there were two weird things about that night. Because I was, I went out there, and the two unusual things. One was Crouchy getting sent off for two yellow cards early doors. Mm. That was so weird. Yeah. I mean, that was just not him at all. But the even weirder thing was Lennon. And Harry seeming to suggest that Lennon just couldn't cope with it.
Lenny played. I saw Lenny at the weekend at the boxing for the first time in a long time. A great friend and a player where I played a lot of football with. We signed at a similar time. Young players, great lad. And I was surprised at that. Surprised he didn't play. And Lenny played in big games for us.
Exactly.
So,
but Redknapp did it. He pretty much said that. Oh, just before the game, it was clear he wasn't. He just couldn't.
I don't know if Lenny was ill that night. I'm not too sure if he was ill or not. Harry or Lenny, I'm not too sure. I actually can't remember that, but I remember Lenny didn't play, and Lenny was a great player for this football. Another legend at this place.
Yeah, fantastic player. Another one.
He was surprised. Yeah, yeah.
And he played in great big games. So that night was such a weird night. Yeah. Those two things didn't tally. Yeah. It didn't make any sense to me.
Let's go to a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about your time with England and your England career after this very quick break. And we're back for the break. There we go. Your England career, there was obviously the call-up in 2006 under Capello. Talk us through how you got that news. How does that work? Who calls you up to go?
Yeah, when my England career was short and sweet. Well, I wouldn't even say it was sweet, it was short. But special, and enjoyed it. Yeah, when I'd been in an awful lot of squads, and even with Sven, I was training before a World Cup, so you get a call, and it tends to be Michelle, the secretary. She's not actually there no more. I seen at the game last week, she works for the Premier League. You get a message saying, right, you've been selected in the squad.
Like a text message? This is sort of...
Yeah, I suppose it probably was.
You think it's really like
didn't they get you in when you were very young
message?
Just to be around the
yeah,
squad?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I think I was in the 21s and I might have been 19.
And they let you go and train with the big ones because they knew you were a prospect.
Yeah, it was good. It was an unbelievable experience. Yeah. I knew it was only for one training session, one in the centre-half, so we were doing 11v11 and turned up and was with Sven then. So I was in the England surroundings and then I trained in the summer for one of the World Cups. I knew I was never going to the World Cup. It was going to 2 weeks training, great experience. And then obviously Fabio was in there, but I'd been in with Steve McLaren, and I remember Steve McLaren were beating Jamaica 6-0 at Old Trafford because obviously Wembley wasn't finished at the time. 6-0 up, Crouchy scored, and I remember Jamie Carragher coming on 6-0. I said to my dad after the game, I'm never going to get an England cap. Never ever. We're 6-0 up and I still can't get on. I'm thinking, I've got an unbelievable crop of players, centre-halves in front of me, JT, Rio, Sol, Ledley, Jamie Carragher. It was like, how is this ever going to happen? I'm playing as well as I can probably play. And then eventually it did happen. So
2010, hungering Bulgaria. What was it like to you know, you're putting the England shirt on? I mean, that's, again, Roy the Rover stuff,
it
surely.
It is. Yeah, of course it is. You never, ever think the dream will come true. When you, like I say, when you look at these players that were ahead of you, you think, wow, I've got this opportunity, and it was only four caps, but I couldn't be prouder to get four caps. I went to a World Cup as a fan, played golf every afternoon, cleaned people's boots, did everything that no one else wanted to do, trained. I was like a lad's holiday, but yeah, it didn't really go too well for the England fans, did it, that year in South Africa. Rio missed out, and I get called up. So from a personal point of view, one of the best experiences of my life, to say I've been to a World Cup, and there was five centre-halves I was probably never going to play with, Ledley number one and JT at the time, and then Ledley unfortunately got injured. Then Jamie Carragher came in, he got suspended after two games, and then there was Matty Upson, I think it was me or Matty Upson, there might have been one other centre-half, I can't remember, and it was going to be me or Matty, and Matty played, but another unbelievable experience.
Then the following season, 2011-12, you got the bad injury, the ankle ligaments, against Stevenage, wasn't it? Stevenage in the Cup. What was that like? This is the first time, certainly, at Spurs that you had quite a lengthy time.
Yeah, I picked up one with England. I ruptured my ankle. I had my fair share of injuries, unfortunately, but it's part and parcel of football. It's just how it is. It's how you come back. I know people always say, you'll come back stronger, and you can be forgotten. You're the only person that's going through it. You're missing playing football. You're missing being with the lads. You're missing your weekends away in a hotel, and you're missing the buzz of winning a football match. So you went through probably 3 or 4 months. But Jermaine did the same as... We're out at the same time, I think, then. But yeah, it's hard to come back, and you do, and especially against Stevenage as well. I was thinking, League Cup, I'm missing all the Premier League games. But yeah, it's part and parcel of football. I had them through my career. But thankfully, my body's still in good shape, and I can play football with the kids in the garden. So I'm still lucky to be like that, because I know players aren't. You see players that have put the body on the line for long periods to fulfil the dreams, but then at the end of it, they are knackered, they're crippled, and I'm not, so I'll be forever thankful.
Before you got injured, and we talked about this in the recording before, you played in, I think, our greatest performance of that season, the 5-0 against Newcastle. We all as fans thought, we can go for the title here. There was all the Harry for England stuff going on. That was like almost the sort of the pinnacle that season, and then it all kind of just dissipated. What was it like in the dressing room? You know, obviously you're very close to Harry. He was a great man, motivator, lovely guy to be around. Probably some of you thought, you know, good luck. I hope he gets it. He deserves the England job. But it was a really weird time because he didn't get it. Then he came out and said, "Oh, I never wanted it." And at the end of the season, he was gone.
Yeah, it was the Champions League, wasn't it? We finished. Was that the year when we finished fourth and Chelsea won the Champions League?
Yeah.
Disastrous. Yeah, I mean, that year was the 5-0. I think it was Louis Saha and Adebayo, centre-forward. As a centre-half, you're thinking, wow. I think it was Colaccini and Stephen Taylor. He absolutely dominated.
It was
45 minutes. Yeah. I had all my family down. I was buzzing. I thought, right, Chinese after a few beers. Uncle, Nana and Grandad, what an easy second 45 minutes. I was like... get this over, straight back to the house, job done. It was relief. Yeah, it was fantastic. The lads were brilliant. Yeah. But the end of that season, the come down of what yeah. happened, obviously, with the Champions League, and then obviously Harry leaving, you're thinking, wow, that's summed our look up. And it had to be them, didn't it? It was like, I remember watching it, it was like, how is this possible? Why can't this look happen to us? Mm. It's just... You couldn't write it. You honestly could not write it. It was like we finished fourth, had a great season, and then you're in the Champions League watching that and going, surely not.
Yeah.
And then and then Harry left, unfortunately.
And then the next season, 2012-13, just bizarre. I don't know if this is true or not. You were offered out to QPR, rightly, thank God, turned it down. For you could explain why, and then became club captain.
Yeah, we were speaking about it earlier, weren't we, Dunk? It was a bizarre moment in my life, my career. And many people would have took it. I love being at the football club. And if I'd followed the money, I would have gone to QPR because they offered me an arm and a leg. Doubled what I was on at Spurs. Yeah,
oh, wow.
But it wasn't the right club. Love being at Spurs. And I thought, I can prove this wrong. And I'll say to anybody in any walk of life, if someone doubts, you prove them wrong. And that's what I did with AVB. My career didn't get off to the best terms, but didn't really speak to him. But I trained every day and proved him wrong. And come November, I played against West Ham, we won. Played against Liverpool, we won. End of that season, got a new deal. Mm. So what a decision it was. Yeah. Still not as much as what I was on at QPR.
What was he like? I mean, you used to touch the AVB. I mean, that again, it was a weird one, wasn't it? AVB coming in, and you mentioned Gareth Bale sort of carried the team in great victories, that great game against West Ham away and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, what was he like as a character?
AVB?
Yeah.
Well, it didn't start great because he tried to sell me after that. But then after that, look, we had a good relationship. And he just wore his heart on his sleeve. He carried everything. He did everything. You talk about managers trusting your staff. He did everything. He worked so hard. His preparation. That was probably the first manager that I thought, we're playing Stoke, right? You get your starting 11. The opposition or the lads who are not going to be playing will be playing like Stoke in training. So you get used to it. His thought knowledge and everything that he did, you cannot knock him. He was relentless and he never switched off. And you see when we won up, on a weekend, he'd come in the tie, he'd be off, he'd let us have a beer. He was brilliant. But then when he lost, he just felt as though he took it all, which a manager does, but he sort of shoulders. So it was hard for AVB. And when he left, like I say, as a player, you feel the guilt because I turned his thoughts around about me. He'd made me captain and we had a good relationship. And obviously then he went. And like I say, when any manager got sacked, I felt personally that I was a loyal person. If they'd been loyal to me, I'd give that back. And ultimately, if a manager gets sacked, the players haven't been performing. Simple as that.
Yeah. He had a pretty good first season, didn't he? It wasn't a bad season.
No.
We won Old Trafford. There were some great games.
We had some good games.
Second season, he seemed to lose his mojo. Mm. He didn't seem so up for it and motivated. And of course, it all unravelled, didn't it?
The Man City game.
Over a few days.
Yeah.
The Liverpool mauling. And
he took it. I remember him calling when we lost to Man City and he was like, what's wrong? And that as a captain, things that you don't see. As a younger player, you don't realise a manager picks up the phone to you. And you did. I used to take it home and you were like, right, I'd walk my dogs when I lived in Abridge. And you're thinking, please, no one stop. Don't talk to me. I think you'd just leave me alone. Yeah. And it's not easy. And he used to shoulder a lot of that. And we had the pressure from above, pressure and the expectations of doing well. That comes when you're at a big football club, you have to deal with that. And we went through a bad, bad period in losing to Man City in the way we did and then losing to Liverpool. And ultimately,
I mean, the Liverpool game was the nail on the head for him, wasn't it? But what happens when it unravels like that? Was it him? Because I spoke to people there who said he just wasn't the same that second season. And Bale had gone, of course. And he'd been, I think he's sort of been told that Bale wasn't going to go. And then Bale had gone. And then all these players have been brought in, but not by him, but by the director of football.
Right? Well, that happens with directors of football. Yeah. And I always think you need to be on the right relationships. You've got to work together, bring the right players in. And ultimately, when you lose Gaz,
Yeah, that any team is going to suffer. Yeah.
I don't care who you are, and ultimately we did. And the players that came in, you look, Christian. I think we're missing massively now. Incredible player. He was a creator. He got on the ball. But yeah, he was one who was getting criticised. You spend all that money, Poligno. Everyone comes in. You go, well, he's no Gareth Bale. Whoever came in was never going to be Gareth Bale. Yeah. And in that period, Gaz was one of the best players in the world.
Yeah,
that fact. There was no doubt in it.
2013-14 was your last season at Tottenham, and normally when someone has their last season at Tottenham, they barely play. You played 31 games in the league that season, so you're absolute regular. Tim Sherwood then came in, ex-Tottenham man, won the league as a player for Blackburn. What was he like to work under?
Tim was energetic. He'd been in and around the club with the younger ages, so I knew Tim. I picked up a couple of injuries with the hamstrings, and... Yeah, it was a hard season. When a manager gets sacked and someone comes in, and Tim did well, you thought, is it going to be him who's getting the manager's job? And then obviously the end of the season came and they brought Maurizio in, and yeah, that was 2014 August. I remember it well.
Well, this is it. Is there some regret? You obviously went to Hull, did well there. Obviously, it was a different level. They went down. Was there regret you didn't stay on and weren't part of that whole Pochettino era?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I started the season and a bid had came in from Hull. Steve Bruce wanted to sign me. And I went back to the time where I'd been with AVB. And I thought, at 30, I was going into the final 2 years of my contract. My wife was pregnant. I thought, I can't go another 3 months at 30 because my career could be going down the hill. Could be ending if I don't play for a year. So I made that decision, and look, Maurizio was brilliant. I stayed for the summer, did pre-season with him, and Hull tried everything to get me. And when a club accepts a bid for you, you thought, right, my time's up. And it was hard. My wife was saying, look, are you doing the right thing? You never know if you're doing the right thing. And ultimately, we got relegated at Hull City, and I should have stayed for another year because obviously you brought a player in and should have bought, in my opinion, Toby in that year. I always say now, if you're going to sign a player, make sure you improve them. And I don't believe that happened the year I left, but then Toby came and it was.
How was the difference, like QPR coming in and going, you can go? What was the difference in your head?
Age. More security. I said, I wasn't going to play.
Right.
Maurizio said, look, you might not play. So then I get to 31 and I've got 1 year left. Where do I go from there? Everything goes into mine. I went there and got a 4-year contract. You get security. A chance to move north, like I said, when my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'd gone through it with AVB and thought, if I don't play till Christmas, November now, I love playing football. Was it the right decision when I got relegated? I said no. But 12 months later, I got promoted with Hull City. And let me tell you, to get promoted and lift the trophy at Wembley, to get back to the big time, it was one of the most precious moments of my career. It really was to get back to the Premier League. But when I left this place, it was emotional. And Daniel picked up the phone when I'd left. We had a Europe game on a Thursday, and I said to Daniel, I can't come back, I'm too emotional. I just couldn't come back. But I always had that relationship that one day I knew I would come back, and thankfully we left on good terms, and he wished me well, and I'm back now.
And what's it like being back? Obviously, you went on back to your boyhood club, Forest. Now you're a club ambassador. What is the role of a club ambassador?
It's great to be back. I always said my nephews are the Spurs fans, my little boys Spurs fans. It's just always been part of my life. When I left, I think you've got to realise that when I lived down here, I couldn't go anywhere. It was one of those. And when I went there, I suppose I had a big weight off my shoulders. And I said this to people the other day, playing for a football club the size of this, it brings expectations, it brings pressures. And as soon as I had a little kid, that was the most important thing in my life. And I was there, we got relegated, it was a disaster. But to come back now and do an ambassador, see Ledley, see people being part and parcel of it, it's an incredible. I come out and do events, do a lot of work with Sky. So look, I'm fortunate to play till 37. Ledley's one of my heroes, and he finished at 32. Sad day when I played in his testimonial. So you make decisions. If I'd have stayed here at 30, would I have played till 37? We'll never know. But thankfully I did, and I'm back now.
And looking back as a player and the times you had, what does Tottenham Hotspur mean to you?
Everything. It gave me all my opportunities. I played the best football of my career in the 9.5 years. I fulfilled every dream I ever dreamed of a young kid. Playing in the Champions League, lifting a trophy, playing for your country. you don't set out as a young kid thinking this is going to ever happen. You honestly don't. You have a talent, and do you really believe it's going to happen? I played with players who were better player than me when I was 16, 17, 18. They didn't go on to have the career I did. So I'll always appreciate everything I've got and everything I've done.
Lovely. Ladies and gentlemen here and at home, Michael Dawson. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.